You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. And happy new year, my people. I want to wish you a happy new year. Thank you for starting 2026 right here with us. And if you thought last year was good on the show, if you saw some of the guests we had last year, some of the conversations we had, some of the takes, some of the analysis, if you thought that was good, I got some news for you, my family. We're leveling up. 2026 is going to be bigger and better than ever before, so stay locked in. Today it's me, Mo Moonsi, no Brendan Sir, but I'm sharing with you my conversation with San Antonio Spurs forward Jeremy Sochan. Now, if you didn't know, Jeremy's actually from right here in the UK, okay? And if you've ever wondered why the UK produces a lot of great stuff, one of the best broadcasters in the NBA, one of the best football teams who, by the way, I'm calling it now, we're winning the World Cup in the summer. I'm going to just let you guys know right now. You know, we produce some great stuff. We don't produce great NBA players, respectfully. The GOAT of UK basketball, Luol Deng. And then there's Jeremy Sochan. There's a few other players, Amari Williams on the Celtics, Tosa Nwuma on the Knicks. And we've got a few guys and an OG Anunoby who we claim is British, even though I don't know. But anyway, shout out to OG. That's my dog still. But if you wanted to know why the UK doesn't produce many NBA players, I thought who better to ask than Jeremy Sochan, who is from the UK, grew up here, properly UK, and is in the NBA. So we had a great conversation. This is quite specific about UK basketball because it wasn't recorded for the podcast. It was recorded for an article I was writing for Overseas Magazine, where I did an in-depth look at UK and London basketball. So if you want to check that out, I'm sure you can buy a copy of the magazine on their website. They didn't pay me, so I'm not going to put the link in the description, but I'm sure you can search it up. But anyway, just being transparent with you here on the podcast, we're a family here on the podcast. So anyway, I thought I may as well get some value out of it, and we're going to reuse that conversation for today because it was Christmas and New Year. We didn't have time to get a guest in, so I'm sharing this with you. And I hope you're happy with it. It's a very interesting conversation. If you're from the UK, you have to listen to this. If you're not from the UK, I would consider listening to this and then realizing how grateful you are for however basketball is being run in your country. Because I promise you, however bad you think basketball is in your country, it's worse right here in the UK. That's why I do this, to try and grow the sport. My methodology is the more people I can bring into the game through sharing my love of it, through explaining things and increasing the fan base's knowledge about the NBA, the more people start playing basketball, then, you know, hopefully, theory, more funding comes in and so on and so forth. So I'm trying to do my part. We got a long way to go, though. There's a lot of great people doing a lot of great things, so shout out to all of them. And I spoke to Jeremy about this, and I thought it was refreshing to hear his insight. He also explained why he plays for Poland and not the UK, even though he grew up here and then went to America to become an NBA player. So a lot of interesting stuff in this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Do let me know your thoughts. And one interesting thing, if you're watching this on YouTube, take a good look at my face. Because when we did this interview 2 years ago, my face was round like a basketball itself. I was fat as hell. So I see the difference. Maybe you guys will see the difference too. Let me know. The beard kind of covers up most of my face, to be fair. But anyway, without further ado, here's Jeremy Sochan giving his unfiltered insights into basketball in the UK. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming on Monday, I think, and I hope, because we've just got to get a few scheduling issues sorted out with some travel over the holidays. Because I'm obviously not recording this today. I've recorded this intro you're watching a long time ago. But anyway, I digress. We'll be back to regularly scheduled, up-to-date current affairs in the NBA very soon. Enjoy this episode. Happy New Year. Love and blessing to each one of you. And because I'm not doing an outro, I'll say it right now. Get buckets.
My man, it's good to see you again, bro. It's good to see you again. How you been keeping?
I've been doing well, man. Just growing and learning. It's been a long time.
I see you shining, bro. I see you shining. Yeah. And we ain't going to talk about your Arsenal team either. We ain't talking about...
come on. Hey,
big talking about yesterday. Them today.
Big win yesterday.
Nah, no, it was huge. It was huge. But I'm a Chelsea fan, so we ain't talking about no Premier League, bro. I'm in the mud.
Terrible.
Man, it's horrible. But listen, growing up in the UK, where did you get your first taste for basketball? Like, what were some of your earliest memories about playing basketball?
Yeah. First time was in Southampton. You know, mum was a hooper. She played in America. My dad was a hooper too, and he moved to... you know, Reading. He played in Reading, he played in Bristol. So when I was in Southampton, just, you know, playing little ball, we had a little, you know, clubs there, and, you know, Beth Guyman and Matt Guyman, they were, you know, big for us. You know, we were playing like these South regional games. I would always go travel to my dad's games in Bristol, a couple times in Reading. So Just kind of just watching and, having fun with it.
Yeah, man. Was he playing BBL or Div 1?
I can't, I'm not, I think it was D1. I think it was
Yeah.
D1. But
Yeah,
I'm not
sweet.
sure. I think maybe Bristol was BBL, maybe.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because the BBL was much, much bigger back then.
Yeah, it was.
And so when did you move to Milton Keynes then when you were growing up?
Yeah, I moved when I was year three.
Okay, and in Milton Keynes, where were your kind of first experiences with basketball? Because obviously you've left your team now in Southeast Regional, so now you're in Milton Keynes.
Playing for MK Basketball, London Lions, they had a couple camps and stuff. So just a mixture of, different clubs that were up and growing in MK. And again, just going to the park, just having fun with it for real. So it was nothing really serious, we was playing National League, not even Premier. So it was, it was just, it was funny. Like when I really look back at it, it wasn't like, it was just for fun, for real. Yeah.
Absolutely. Is there like a moment that you remember where you really fell in love with basketball?
Ooh. You know what's crazy? I don't think there was one moment. I think it was just, a progress. It's just like growing, like as a kid. I just kept growing and, just learning, becoming more serious at basketball. We started winning at national level. Then I moved to, Hertfordshire Warriors, which was a premier team. We was getting smacked left, right, and center. So it was just, a mixture of, ups and downs, playing in school, and I just loved basketball. It was just something that I could, get my mind off, just the school and stuff like that, and just hoop.
I remember that. But you also played football when you were growing up, and obviously football is
Yeah.
huge over here in the UK. What made you choose basketball over football, aside from kind of the family influence? Because we see a lot of sports stars, their kids play different sports to them nowadays.
Yeah, no, it was, of course, football's huge, and it was actually really big in, my, growing up. That's all I really played. But I don't think it was my family's influence that, like, none of that, there was no influence in them making me pick basketball. I think, they gave me the two cards and just told me, like, what do you want to do? It's your schedules are kind of, they're hitting each other, and you have to pick one. And I felt way more natural with basketball. And I'm not saying I was, the best at goalkeeper ever, but I was pretty good, and I was big for my age, so I was dominating. But I just felt natural, and I felt, something. I felt something. I didn't know what the feeling was at the time, but I felt something with basketball, and that's what I decided to do, and it paid off for sure.
You could say that. What age were you when you went all in on basketball and made that your sole focus?
Yeah, I was like, I want to say I was like 12, 13.
Okay.
Yeah. Not
You
that
know,
young. I mean, kind of young. Yeah.
the early days in Milton Keynes, you mentioned playing in the park with your friends and playing for a few teams. Where would you really hoop at when you wanted to go out by yourself and work on your game?
Yeah, it was either the park with my mom, but later on, we, of course, how it is in England. We had, two practices a week. And one at under 14s or under 16s, and then luckily I was able to compete with under 18s, so I would have a extra practice. But apart from that, it was either at the park, just working on my ball handling, finishes and stuff. But luckily, my mom got in touch with my school that I used to go to, secondary school, Oak Grove, and I was able to get a time slot from, like, I think it was like 5:36 a.m. And me, one of my teammates, Julian, and Ishmael Fontaine, he still hoops.
Yep.
He would work us out. So, shout out to him. And we worked out, I think it was like 3 times a week. So it was a struggle. It was a struggle. It wasn't just like I could go at, 10 a.m. or 5 p.m. It was, you had to find, ways to go work out. So yeah.
Absolutely, man. That's awesome. Do you remember the name of the park they used to play at?
I would have to text you it.
I hear you. I hear you. Yeah, hit me with
I
that
was
later on.
actually trying to find it. Let me find it real quick. I think
All
I'm
right,
good.
well, we'll do next time you're here in the UK. We'll take you back and we'll
Yeah.
do a little reminiscing, back then. While you're having a look for that, do you have any more names of people? You mentioned a couple already. Do you have any more names of people that were really inspirational or really had a big impact on you throughout your journey here in the UK?
Yeah, again, you know, if you look back to Southampton, Beth Gaiman was, you know, big for me, and my mom, Matt Gaiman, he was my coach at Itchen, at Jack O'Keefe. Those two, you know, I still stay in contact with them, still work with them. You know, they were big time. They were, you know, I feel like they were the both of them were the ones that really, you know, showed me the habits I needed and, you know, the type of mentality I needed to make it out. And it was the first step I did to you know, go to Indiana, to Lalemeer and, you know, start getting noticed around, you know, Europe, America. So, you know, shout out to them. And I don't know, you know, my mom was always, you know, big for me. And there's a bunch that probably, you know, I can't remember, but those
Yeah.
were the main role.
There's too many names. How did playing at Itchen really help you take your game to the next level after you moved back down there?
Yeah, it was big time, you know. Again, that was the first year where I was actually practicing like nearly every day. First time I actually, you know, start lifting, having strength and conditioning, you know, practices, trainings. And at the end of the day, I was, you know, I was 15 playing with, you know, under 19, you know, players. And then also I had the chance to practice and, you know, play a few games with the D1 team. So it helped me so much. It made me realize, you know, I'm not the only one who was, you know, talented or had potential. There was, you know, everyone could compete and, you know, play. So it just helped me so much.
You know, you've had a great journey and you've worked really hard to get to where you are. But what needs to happen in the UK for more young people to follow your example and make it to that top tier of basketball in the NBA?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like personally, I think, you know, it has to, I feel like we need to, you know, create and it's got so much better than it was. But I think, you know, we still need to create this culture that like all over England, you know, London's, you know, a city that's, you know, popping off right now. You know, but I feel like we need to create this culture where there's so much excitement that, you know, it's just bringing the whole community out. The exposure level, we just, you know, people just reading it on newspapers, on, you know, TV, like little mixtapes or whatever it is, and just, you know, create a culture that, you know, makes people want to, you know, do it more, play it more, and it's gonna, you know, have to awake, you know, people with more money and people with, you know, power to, you know, invest in it and put, you know, things that are necessary to keep growing basketball in UK, you know what I mean? So, again, you know, there's not a lot of help with it right now, but I feel like, you know, if everyone, you know, stays together and, you know, brings it even closer, like it's just gonna make it, you know, bigger. So, yeah.
Yes, we're working on it, bro. We're working on it. We're
I see
trying.
it. Yeah, I see it.
If you had to describe basketball in the UK with just one word, what would that word be?
Ooh, good question. Let me think. I'd say limitless. Like, yeah, limitless. Yeah.
Limitless. I like that. And what about if it was London specifically?
Ooh, London specifically. One word. Damn, you put me on the spot, man. I didn't see this
Come
one.
on, man. You know what I do, bro. You know what I'm about.
I can't say the same one, huh?
Nah. Because London's different from the rest of the UK.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? I feel like there's a lot more happening here
yeah,
than the rest of the country right now.
way more. Like the like hunger, like I don't know, like yeah, like hunger or something, like a
Hungry,
word,
that's a good one.
yeah, hungry, yeah.
That's a good because there's a lot of hoopers right now in London that
Yeah.
are mad hungry to go out there and get these opportunities. So,
Thanks.
you know, you're setting pace right now and setting the example. We've seen you come back to the UK in the off seasons. We linked up at Clapham Common, which is the new court that they redeveloped, and you show a lot of love to the next generation. Can you tell us about your relationship personally with the culture back here, ever since you've gone to the NBA?
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, you know, I seen you there and, you know, that was a great experience. Personally, I think I need to do more. You know, again, it was my first year last year, so I couldn't do too much. I had to stay in San Antonio. But you know, I have so much love for the, you know, England, for London, for MK. It's just, That's where I grew up. That's where, family is. All my people are there. So, it has a place in my heart. And again, what MK's doing now too, with the MK Basketball Club, that's big time.
Yep.
They're doing so much, and not only just the men's, like they're bringing girls into it. They, went into the under 18s, cup final too. So, just if I have a chance to just bring people together and, keep building that culture like you guys are doing, I'm gonna be there. And this summer definitely, I'm gonna be in Europe way more because of the Olympic qualifiers. So, I'm definitely gonna spend way more time in London and England.
100%, bro. Anything you need from my side as well, you just let me know. You're going to be here for the Olympic qualifiers. You obviously represent Poland internationally. Can you, and we can remove this if you don't want this to be public, but can you talk about why you chose to play for Poland rather than GB? Because I've heard so many different stories from different people. Yeah, I got to hear it. We can remove this if you don't want this included, but I got to hear it from you.
I think it's real to include it. I'm gonna be honest, like, again, you see me, I was playing for both teams. I went to Copenhagen, I think, with England. Had a great tournament. At the same time, I was playing for Poland. I had a good tournaments there. I was playing actually for a year up for an older team with Poland. And that's what kind of you got to balance it out. And I looked at both options, and like, we gotta be honest, there's way more opportunity, or at the time I had way more opportunity with Poland, whether it was games, camps, testing, just exposure level to other European clubs, countries. It was on a different level at the time, and like, it's a shame. Again, if they were the same, what would I pick? I'm not sure. I can't tell you that. But that's one of the main reasons. And yeah, there was, I could have played for GB, but again, Poland, they were paying for that. I mean, not paying, but they were sending, all the camps were free, the flights were free. Whereas, England
Not a struggle.
is a struggle, man.
Trust me. That's almost answered the next question, but what have you seen in Poland and the US that England can learn from when it comes to developing young players?
I think like, you gotta look at it where, not everyone is like able to, afford gyms or, basketball stuff, shoes, clothing, or again, like the GB stuff. It's bread, and not everyone has it, or not, sometimes your parents don't understand what you're trying to do, or what your goal is, and it's tough. It's tough. And I don't know, it's again, I think it's the culture thing, and it's growing and it's getting better, but it's just gotta be easier access to things to grow the basketball. Whether it's like, I remember being in MK, and me and my boys wanted to rent out a basketball court, and it was either badminton was occupying the courts, or it was flipping 50 pounds for a half an hour or something like that.
Yep. Yeah,
And
sounds about right, bro. It's more than that right
it
now.
was exactly. And it was like us, man, just going in a circle and getting little coins out and trying to pay for it. And it's tough, I mean, like, of course the park's there, but it's not the same as an actual court. So I think just accessibility, is really important.
Yeah, especially with the weather here. It's like the
Yeah,
park's there, but you be outside in the winter, your hands are like black with the
exactly.
muds. That you slip in everywhere. It's
Can't feel your hands.
bro, trust me. Trust me. I've been through it. I've been through it all. I use that excuses. You know what I'm saying? Like my parents never seen me play basketball once in my life. They told me to go study. So here I am, and there you are. But like right now, we just seen Tosun make his debut with the Grizzlies. He was cleaning the glass against the Celtics last night as well.
Should have happy, man. That should
How
have
does
me
that make
so.
you feel seeing that?
No, so happy, man. I was actually chatting to him before he decided to go to the NBA draft, because he was weighing up if he wanted to, go stay in college, or go to the pros. And it's made me so happy, because He's been grinding it out, you know, working hard, and you know, he got an opportunity, and he's, you know, he's doing really well in it, and he's, you know, getting minutes, you know, scoring, rebounding, crazy. I saw that yesterday, like 12 rebounds or something. He was bigger. So it just makes me so happy. But he's the, you know, he's the one who's done it now. But there's just so much potential. There's so many other players who are hooping in college and D1, on ranked teams, on, you know, playing in the ACC, just, you know, doing their thing for UK. And it's only time. It's only time that's gonna prove what's happening in England, and you know how much potential it has. So yeah.
Yeah, because we've got Utosan and OG as well out there with the Knicks, just locking guys up, bro. There's something about being British and playing defense, right?
Exactly, man. Because
But
we had to. Because we had to.
you got to go get it. But like right now, we're seeing all the French guys, your teammate Wembanyama, and then we've got Alex Saar in the draft next year, and there's already a bunch of French guys, and a big influx of Serbian players as well. If you had to put like a time estimate on when are we going to start putting the world on notice, because I get calls from GMs and scouts all the time, like, Mo, what are they doing over there in France? Why are they so good now? So how long is it until we see that for the UK?
A good question, man. I don't know, man, but like if you really think about it, you know, the French players, you know, where they're coming from, even the Serbian players, England has that. England has, you know, African descent, you know, Serbian descent. They have all of that in England. So I think it's just a matter of time. There's a matter of time where you know, whether it's, you know, just me, you know, OG, Tosan, and you know, the other college players who are gonna come up and I believe are gonna be in the NBA to prove that, or you know, it's gonna take 10, 12 years to do that. But I don't know, man. It's getting there. It's getting there. And I think it's so hard to put a scale, like a time scale on it. But I just know there's so much potential in it, and it's there.
Have you got any names of some of those college players, like through your NBA lens, who are you looking at and watching, thinking they can make the leap to the next step?
Utah State, Osabor, like he's hooping, man. He's killing it. Every game he's scoring like he's averaging a double double and you know, scoring 30, dunking on everyone. You know, his teammate Joshua Duje, he's hooping. Cameron Hildreth, there's so many. So you know, on VCU, on
Yeah, Michael Bell.
who else is there's two, right? At VCU.
I don't even know Michael. I don't know if one of his teammates went with him. I have to
Name,
check that.
I
But
think so. Yeah, but there's so many, and it's a matter of time for real,
Bro, just
because
keep inspiring. But
yeah,
I won't take too long, too much of your time. I know you're busy. But what's the
good.
one piece of advice you have for young basketball players in London growing up right now?
Let me think real quick.
Take your time, bro.
I was like this when I was a kid too, and I kind of like tried to compare myself to other players and players overseas, you know, watching their, you know, highlight their Bulls life highlights and whatever overtime highlights. And trust me, basketball is not that, you know what I mean? Just stick to the habits, stick to, you know, growing, playing hard, playing defense, listening to your coaches, being a sponge, and just, you know, just try get it out, man. Just try work hard and just work on your game from every aspect. Not only, you know, trying to score step backs and I don't know, try, you know, break people's ankles, because that's not basketball, man. That's not basketball. So just
Matt,
try keep on.
I remember being in high school and I watched Austin Rivers
But
Ball Is
he's got
Live
like
mixtape,
he's
and I
got like
watched it and I was like, yeah, this ain't for me no more. I
the
gotta figure something else out.
But then, like, it doesn't translate. So, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's not basketball. That's not basketball. So just keep.
Do you think that gave you an advantage instead of playing, you know, because I see a lot of AAU games now where everyone's trying to cross guys up and do celebrations and they're more focused on that than the game sometimes. Do you think playing over here gave you an advantage when it came to the development of those fundamental skills?
100%. 100%. Even, like, when I went to Indiana to Lalemeer. And I'm not throwing any shade out or, you know, hating on, you know, high school basketball, but like I went there and some of my teammates didn't understand like easy, simple things in basketball that, you know, us in Europe and England, we were taught that at 13, 14, 12. So no, it definitely helped me shape my, you know, basketball IQ and just, you know, how I read the game. So no, definitely.
Because we see that a lot from, you know, Luka's come out and said it. I think Lauri Markkanen said it. Jokic said it. That it's easier to score in the NBA than it is when you're playing over in Europe. Do you see the game the same way?
I think so. I think so. I think, you know, in the NBA, the is so, it's not, I don't want to say it's open because everyone's so athletic, but you know, you have three second defensive calls, you have different areas you can't touch and stuff. So it's easier for sure. But again, you still need to be very talented to score in this league. So yeah.
Yeah, if you've just got a little bit of time, I want to circle back to one thing you mentioned at the very start. You mentioned that London Lions did some summer camps and stuff when you were growing up. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I remember because you know there used to be MK Lions.
Yeah, because it was
If
London Towers and MK
right,
Lions.
yeah, if you're an OG, you know that. So yeah, they used to have like in half terms or something like that. We would have like, you know, just camps where, you know, parents would just drop us off and you know, some of the MK Lion players would you know, coach us, we'd play games, little drills, and it was so much fun. We'd play little games and just it was competitive. But yeah, MK has so much talent as well, basketball wise, and you know, they're bringing it back, so yeah, it was fun.
Did you go and watch them a lot when you were growing up?
Yeah, here and there, here and there. I feel like at that time I was kind of on the football wave, but I was still, you know, watching here and there. But yeah, I was definitely watching. They had really good like atmosphere, a lot of fans, and you know, they had the drums and shit. So it was just fun to see all of that as a
Have
kid.
you been keeping an eye on what they're doing now? They're trying to bring back that similar vibe now
Yeah,
over in
yeah,
Stratford.
yeah. Yeah, no, it's been mad. Like even Euro Cup, how much they, you know, what they're doing with that. That's big time. You know, bringing players that are good and, you know, had NBA experience and European experience. It's gonna help, you know. So yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, OG invested in the Lions. Now he's party ownership. I'm trying to
That's
see you bring MK back to the BBL. Do you know what
it. Hey, MK's coming, man. MK's
I'm
coming.
saying? Jeremy, man, I appreciate your time, bro. We won't hold you for too long, bro. Appreciate you taking the time out.